Get all the sporting views on and off the field on Clare FM's Sideline View in association with DNG O'Sullivan Hurley.
Good evening and welcome to Clare FM's Sideline View. It's Derek Lynch with you on this bank holiday Friday until 7 o'clock this evening. Coming up on the show, we look ahead to Clare's National Hurling League clash against Dublin with two of the Banners' 2013 All-Ireland winners, while a two-time All-Ireland winner runs the rule over the current state of play in Clare GAA. We'll preview the Clare Ladies footballers as they round off their National League group stage campaign against Meath. We look ahead to the return of club action at both underage and adult levels. We'll check in at East Clare Golf Club and continue our Greyhound focus with a wrap of the results from a Clare point of view from the tracks in both Limerick and Galway. We're starting tonight though with a look to Clare's National Hurling League clash with Dublin as Brian Lohan takes his charges to Parnell Park up in Donnycarney. The team for that game due to be named later this evening, and we do expect changes from the side that lined out during the win over Laois 2 weeks ago. It's the start of a busy month of course on the inter-county scene with two games over the next week to finish the league campaign before that huge Munster Championship clash with Waterford on June 27th. 2013 All-Ireland winner and Clonlara man Dara Conan has been assessing how the season has gone to date.
Very similar to challenge games and how the games have played out, because teams have very little done because of COVID. So on the first trip we weren't happy with the answer, but the feel of the match was very much of a challenge game. And you could excuse, I suppose, the performance not being great. Against Wexford, I thought they improved on things hugely in a lot of different areas, and they played fairly good hurling. Other than the fact that their discipline let them down, I thought they put in a good performance, and they should have won that game easily enough, bare ill discipline and going down a man to a red card at the end, I suppose, was the losing of the game eventually.
And then the Laois game, I suppose, was probably where the green shoots came out. I suppose it was more the performances of what we call the newcomers that probably caught the eye there, was it?
Yeah, the first half, Laois play a very, very defensive game, and they just put piled bodies into the defence and kind of sacrificed their attack. So it took a bit of time to break them down. I thought use of the ball was a bit better then in the second half, and it was good to see Shane playing so well and running directly at the defence, and good to see Mark Rogers get in and get a goal and a few decent performances around the pitch, right?
And I guess the next block of games now will probably take on a bit more importance because, you know, we're moving into June now. Suddenly it's this month when you're talking about championships. So do you think that will bring a different sort of mindset in training and these two games in particular?
Yeah, well, you should be seen improving now at this stage. You know, you have had collective training for a while. You've had a run of games, and I know they got a challenge game in last week as well. So they've had a consistent run of games now, and you should see things gearing up and a bigger improvement in teams and a probably higher quality of games over the next weekend and through to the championship.
And like, given the fact that I suppose in terms of the contesting the top division and stuff like that, that's probably gone. So now you've two games against relatively good opposition in Dublin and Kilkenny, that if there was something you were looking at for Waterford, a particular style or a particular move, is it the kind of game that you could try it out in?
Yeah, I suppose like Brian has used the league to try out a few different things, and I suppose the most notable of that is John going back to centre back. And I suppose he has a decision to make now whether he's going to stick with it or try someone else there. So John has been there in each game so far, and if he was looking at any other alternatives, these would be the games to try out someone else there to see if he's happy with them as well. So maybe we'll see something there. And I'm sure he's the combined getting minutes into people with giving everyone a chance as well. So there's a bit of a balancing act there to be done, but the full 5 games of the league will have to be used for those purposes.
What have you made of that John Conlon to centre-back move?
It wouldn't be my preference. I'd like to see him in the forwards. I think that he's much more effective there. I don't think centre-back plays to his strengths. I'd rather see someone like Dave McInerney or Jack Brown or even Dermot Ryan, who's playing really good hurling at the moment, play centre-back. I think they'd be better suited to that, and I think John would be better suited to the attack.
And just finally, in an overall sense, is there kind of a feeling that the squad now are starting to build that bit of depth and have that bit of firepower facing into the summer?
Yeah, and I mean, the new incomers into the panel are integral to that, and that's why I was saying now, Mark Rodgers coming in, getting a goal is great the last day, and Shane Meehan, when he got his chance against Wexford, I thought he looked very lively as well. So maybe we'd like to see a bit more of Keane Galvin. I know he played the first day above an Antrim, and I don't think he's played since, so it would be nice to see him get some more minutes under his belt and kind of develop out the depth of the squad a bit.
The thoughts there of Dara Conan. Well, Newmarket's Colin Ryan has also been looking ahead to the game and began by reflecting on that victory over Laois last time out.
Like, I think everybody was just looking for Brian, especially was probably looking for that first win. I think things have kind of possibly, obviously after the Antrim game, you know, they would have obviously put their hat on getting a result against Wexford, and I suppose up to the sending off, you know, they were doing really well, and I thought they were actually going to come home there, you know, easily, I think, before the sending off. You know, they were really in control of the game, and I thought it was a good performance. But I suppose with Liam Curry getting sent off, they just kind of lost their way a small bit, and I don't think there was any real calmness about them in the last 10 minutes. And that comes from, I suppose, being under pressure to get a result too, you know, after losing to Antrim. They really just wanted to win, and there just seemed a bit of a manicness that went with that sending off, you know, that they just didn't kind of slow the game down and get their bearings and figure out, you know, how to kind of control the game against Wexford for the last 15 minutes. But they went then and they got the result against Laois, and I think, you know, this Clare team is a real confidence team, I think. They do really well when they get going and they get a few wins behind their belt, and, you know, are they number one All-Ireland contenders? No, they're not, but they do build a bit of momentum. But I don't miss, one thing I do not miss anyway out of finishing hurling McClare is going to Parnell Park. That's the only thing I will say.
Another tough venue, is it?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was just something about the place. I don't know what it was. It felt different to every stadium that you ever went into. There was just a kind of the walls nearly coming in on top of you. It was tight. Now, I suppose Dublin have changed their way to, you know, Dublin were a big physical team back then, probably, maybe, and lacked a bit of hurling. You know, so going in there became a real physical battle. You know, I remember getting a right licking off them there one day. One year, I think it was actually after we won in the All Ireland. I think we were going into see the president afterwards, so that didn't go down too well. But it's just a tough place to go. But then at the same time, Dublin probably aren't as physical now as they were back then. So, you know, Clare can probably, you know, do a lot more hurling up there. And I think Clare are in a good place. I think they'll be looking to win the game and to drive forward onto, you know, the next game in the league.
You touched on it there, like the monkey off the back of the first win. I'd imagine it would have been a much different mindset going to Parnell Park this weekend, still looking for that first win. Does that take the pressure off a little bit?
It does, because obviously, you know, you're looking relegation down the barrel, then you're kind of worried then, you know, where is it going to go from here? Especially, you know, if they were to lose to Laois and Antrim, you know, no offence to both them teams, but going out at the start of the year, you'd be expecting to beat both of them. But no, it takes the pressure off. It allows them, you know, to kind of, I suppose, throw the shackles off and have a cut at Dublin this weekend. But at the same time, I think they've been very unfortunate. You know, like, we've started the league without David McInerney. I know we had Cullum Galvin come on the last day, which is a big plus for Clare. You know, Tony missed the last day after picking up the injury against Wexford. You know, if he'd have been on the field, maybe for Wexford, God knows, we could have got a result there as well. So there has been a few things that have gone against the team, you know, to build progress. And we don't have the strength and depth to be missing players of that calibre. You know, you're talking three all-stars there, you know, so you definitely want our three close to all-stars. You want them on your Clare team, you know, going forward. And I think Brian would be hoping to plan with them, you know, one eye on championship.
Yeah, like the next two games, obviously, anyone involved in sport is going to tell you, yes, we want to win the game. But is the more important outcome that we start to see that settled 15 with Waterford now? I mean, championship now is this month.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think he's thrown his lot in with John at centre back, and I've said here before, I see his point. He needed a calmness in there. Do I think it's the solution long term? No, but at the same time, it seems like it's going to be Brian's solution this year, and it's going to be very hard for them to slot a centre back in there After John playing three games, you know, possibly four games. So they really do think, I think, that it's the solution for this year. So you're probably going to see him back in there. But I think we just need to build around it. I thought, you know, Aaron Fitzgerald, hopefully get another run. You'll see Shane O'Donnell, you know, come to the fore again. Aaron Shanahan has really stepped up this year. But we can get Tony back in, hopefully, this weekend. Cullum Galvin, more game time into him. You know, I think Cullum is one of the best hurlers in the country, I think, on form. You just need to get everything, I think, going for him, and he needs to be fully committed to the cause and injury-free. And if we can get him going, it'll be a real plus this year. But, yeah, I think he just needs to find a settled team. I think especially midfield. I think we've been chopping and changing a small bit at midfield. And possibly our two wing-backs, we just need to get a settled approach there as well. To kind of drive forward. It looks like Cathal Malone is going to be wing forward. It looks like, you know, David Reedy is playing 11. So we just need to fill a couple of positions and get them, you know, down before we get into Championship against Waterford, because you're going to need to know everything before the Waterford game. You don't want to be going into the Waterford game experimental.
Yeah, and just finally, like, it's two games in 7 days, so I suppose momentum and freshness, probably it's a difficult balance on those two aspects.
Yeah, the one thing I will say is, like, no player wants to be undercooked coming into Championship. I think especially with the long layoff that people have had, I know they've been wary of injuries and stuff like that, but I know as a player, you know, the last thing you wanted to be is undercooked. You wanted to, you know, have games under you. You wanted to have, you know, the tank emptied a couple of times so that you know it's there. And you wanted to build a bit of form, you know, coming into Championship. And Clare don't have a lot of time to build, you know. There isn't a big gap between league and Championship for you to build more momentum. I think you have to carry it forward from the league, and especially carry forward the form of individual players and know that you have it in the tank going into the Waterford game. And, you know, I've said this year, it could be a good draw for Clare this year, because you just don't know if you beat Waterford in the first round. You know, there's other teams you're going to be playing that won't have played a quarter-final, and you just have that Championship feel about you a bit earlier than them, and God knows where that'll take you.
Colin Ryan there, looking ahead to tomorrow's clash with Dublin in Parnell Park. It has a 5:15 start, and of course we'll have full live commentary of the game here on Clare FM. Before we move on from hurling, though, seems that some of the biggest names in Clare hurling have been speaking in recent days about the need for change in the way the Clare GAA is doing its business at the moment. Both Shawnee McMahon and James E. O'Connor spoke with Gerard Brown and Shane Stapleton on the OurGame.ie website, and both men calling for change from the top down there. Let's have a little listen to what Shawnee had to say about things in Clare GAA over the last few months when he spoke with Gerard Brown.
It's been very disappointing overall. I think the COVID situation is really unusual, you know. Like, we don't want to probably go too far into it, but at the end of the day, two extra players got COVID, unfortunately. You know, and only two Clare players were identified as close contacts. No extra player they spent the night in a hotel. They would have had a breakfast, an evening meal together, pre-match meal. They were in the dressing room together. They were in huddles together. No extra players identified as a close contact, and two Clare players are. So that, I can see, really, I feel very 100% agree with Brian Lohan why he's so angry about that. And he has had a lot of challenges through the year, and that was just another one that really shouldn't have happened. But, you know, he's had issues with the county board. I don't feel the county board have backed him in any way as much as they should be backing him. He's, for me, the greatest player to have ever hurled for Clare, and when he was hurling, he gave himself completely for the team. You know, there's no ego with him. He just wanted the team to win, and that's exactly what he's doing in this role. He wants to give everything to the team so that they can win and that Clare can progress. And he's not getting the support of the county board or as much of it as he should be. And it's just not good enough, really. And, you know, ultimately, to have a chance, you need everything going, everyone pulling together. And, you know, he just needs a bit more support than he's getting. And, you know, I've great respect for him. I think what he's done and the way he's carrying himself is fantastic. And he just needs that support. And hopefully, from now on, he starts to get more of it, because he simply has not got enough of it up to now. We would have all had hoped for an awful lot more after, you know, the 21s in particular, and then obviously the senior, getting to the senior, winning the senior All-Ireland at 13, you know. You have to say it as well, though, that All-Ireland's a very hard one, you know what I mean? And there's absolutely no guarantee you'll get there, and we are the absolute proof of it. I suppose the disappointing thing is that we're not as competitive. I mean, since 13, we've been to semi-final once, and that is really disappointing. And why that is, I couldn't tell you. You know, it's just, it probably just hasn't happened for a number of reasons. But, you know, I just think the whole thing of Clare needs a lift. It needs change. You know, I think the county board needs to be changed at this stage. You know, and that's not laying all the blame on them, but, you know, it seems to have gone stale, and I think Cathal Eoghan probably typifies that. Cathal Eoghan is the same, pretty much the same now as it was in 2012 or 2013, you know, and, you know, with a few small additions. So it's, you know, and change seems to be on the way, but it has to come quickly, you know what I mean? Other counties are moving on. You hear of other counties and they're hiring operations manager and finance manager, and, you know, they're bringing huge amount of money and fundraising in, and they have different initiatives going. You know, we're only putting a 5-year strategic committee in place now. Like, this should have gone in 10 years ago, probably. Like, you know, so it's just things have gone stale and things need to be changed. And, you know, ultimately that's where it's at. And I think until we get that change, we're not going to progress to where we want to go.
Stark stuff there from Shauna McMahon speaking to Gerard Brown on ourgame.ie. You can check out that website, ourgame.ie, for the full interview, plus an interview with Jamesy O'Connor as well. Now, so looking ahead to Clare's final game of the National Ladies Football League group campaign with Peter O'Connell of Channel Clare, who have been streaming the games right across the season. He has seen those two games firsthand. Peter, your assessment firstly of where this Clare team stand at the minute after those two first round games?
Yeah, I think there have been two progressive games, Derek. I mean, the first game against Wexford, Clare would have been expected to win that and needed to win it. And, you know, it was a bit of a struggle, but they got the results eventually. And, you know, it took a great score there in injury time from Fidelma Marnin to win it. And funny enough, then, even though they were beaten by Kerry, they played a lot better against Kerry. You know, they played with a lot more freedom and really attacked Kerry. Like, they got off to a bad start. I mean, Kerry got a goal in the point within the first minute and a half, and the goal was soft. But the really impressive thing about Clare was, after that, they played outstanding football for the rest of the first half, particularly up to the first half water break. I mean, they attacked from midfield, they attacked from the half-back line, and caused serious problems for Kerry. Kerry then, you know, did get a grip on it, got a couple of goals, introduced some, you know, really good players that would normally be starting from the bench, the likes of Lorraine Scanlon, for example, and, you know, they definitely made a difference. But, again, a lot of credit to Clare, you know, in the second half, when they were 6 or 7 points down, they fought right back. You know, they got right back into it. Got a couple of late goals. Katrina Cannon came on as a sub. Great to see her back. Having been out for a lot last year with a long-term injury, got a really great goal. Chloe Maloney came on again. Made a big difference up front. And one of the other goal scorers then, Schieffer McConnell, you know, came up from full back. I think the other thing, Derek, is that around the middle, like, Aisling Reedy was really outstanding against Kerry, particularly in the first half. Roisin Looney has been, you know, very consistent as well, and they've got a really good half back line. And the half back line, the three half backs, Quiver Harvey, team captain at wing back, and Roisin Conlon on the other wing, and Tara Kelly in the centre, they're all really good at carrying the ball, you know, and it's a good attacking platform, that kind of middle third, you know. So even though they were beaten by Kerry, yet, you know, we have to remember Kerry are a senior team, I think there was a lot of positives, and, you know, hopefully now they can kind of, you know, take that into this game against Meath. It's going to be a tough one. We, you know, saw Meath last year beat Clare comprehensively in the intermediate semi-final and didn't win the All-Ireland. So it's going to be a really good test for Clare, and particularly up in Navan.
So in an overall sense, before we talk about that Meath game, is there a feeling then that the management would have got what they were kind of looking for from the first two games? I think they've ran the rule over almost close to 30 players at this stage.
Definitely, and that's the key thing, because, you know, any player who's putting in the time and effort to, you know, to train and to prepare properly, and it's not just at training itself, but, you know, proper hydration and diet, all that kind of stuff, it's all part of what's required at intercounty level. Anyone who's doing that needs to get a run, you know, and they've given a run to, as you said, close to 30 players, and you know, that keeps everyone in, that keeps everyone thinking, well, they've got a chance of, you know, being part of the match day panel come championship. And I think that's what the league is about. Like, it's about, okay, you want to get results, I mean, definitely, but at the same time, you've got to balance that between, you know, giving runs to as many players as possible, and hopefully then at the end of the league, that you can look back and you can, you know, you can kind of confidently say, okay, I have a good idea now of my match day panel, because it's not just about the team. Like, it's, I mean, 15 are never going to win any game in championship in particular. You need impact from the bench, and there, I've had that in both games, really, you know. And
now, that's Peter O'Connell there, looking ahead to the Clare Ladies football game against Meath up in Port Talton in Navan. That one has a 5:30 start on Sunday evening, and we'll be keeping you posted on how it's progressing both on air and online here on Clare FM. We're back to Sideline View shortly.
He puts the key in the door and he's in! Yes! Another happy customer from DNG O'Sullivan Hurley. Proud sponsors of Clare FM's Sideline View.
Now, you're welcome back to Sideline View here on Clare FM. Well, it is a bank holiday weekend to look forward to, and that is made all the more exciting by the fact that it also marks the return of competitive club action here in Clare, with the first round of the football leagues and underage hurling competitions to look forward to. A busy schedule of games await not only on Monday, but indeed right across the next couple of weekends throughout the county. But the standout game in the Cusick Cup on Monday afternoon, no doubt, is the first competitive fixture on the new pitch at Park Na Mhaire in Quilty, and fittingly, it sees the reigning cup champions Milltown, who come to the home of the current senior championship holders Kilmurry O'Brien. Their manager Aidan Horse Maloney has been telling me that everyone is just glad to have the games back once more.
They've been mad anxious to get back on the field and get a feel of the ball and start playing games, even if it's only small games amongst themselves. It's definitely they love coming back to the field, and I think they realise how much they missed it. Maybe we always find it hard to get them there all the time, but now that they weren't allowed there for the last 12 months or so, they're actually quite anxious to get back on the field and hopefully get back enjoying their games again.
And I know championship is down the road, but I guess, like, having the five league games, I think there was only one round played last year, if at all. So, you know, to have those five games prepped for lads is obviously a bonus as well.
Yeah, well, without any league last year, you know, the league is a great way of introducing new players as such, you know, and giving younger players the opportunity to stake a place for the championship. And, you know, we didn't have that last year, but, you know, it'll be good. Like, you know, I mean, we will be without, you know, for the first three or four rounds anyway of the Cusick Cup without county players. And that's not ideal. You know, it's not fair on, I mean, obviously the times we're in, we have to deal with it, but it's, you know, it's not fair on the new players that you'd like them to play with the inter-county players, and that's where you can judge them on how they do, you know. But look, it's what we have, and we're delighted the games, and, you know, it'll be, we're always looking for new players, you know, and that's what the Cusick Cup will probably be for this year, you know.
And just going forward on that point, obviously with the split season implemented, I suppose, please God, if things are normal next year, you'll have that dynamic of having your county players available unbroken when the club season is there. So that's going to elevate things to a new level, as you touched on there.
Of course, yeah. I mean, look, really, any game of meaning, you have to have your inter-county players, especially if you have, you know, three or four players or more on an inter-county squad. It really disrupts, you know, your preparation, and obviously, you know, I think it demeans the competition a little bit if you have to play without them. I mean, obviously, the times are in, as I said, this year. But going forward, really, there's no future playing any major competition with the club unless you have your inter-county players. And, you know, I mean, that's goes without saying, like, you know.
And just finally, I know it's out of everybody's control, but I mean, Kilmurry and Milltown in Quilty on a bank holiday Monday, you'd love to see a packed house. Obviously, that won't be there. It'll bring a new dynamic to it, I suppose.
Yeah, sure. Look, I mean, you know, it's always a great occasion when Milltown and Kilmurry play against each other. But, you know, look, at over the last number of years, we played them in the Cusick Cup, and it's been a non-event because, you know, realistically, both teams have, you know, just half have the numbers that they would like to have with no county players again. Like it does take away from the occasion a little bit. But look at it, for Milton and ourselves, it'll be to be an opportunity for new players to put themselves on the mantle and see if they can produce it on the day, like, and obviously towards the championship, which is always the end game for us anyway.
Aidan Maloney there ahead of Sunday's game against Milltown. Milltown selector David O'Brien is also glad to have the games back.
Grand to get back playing games again. We've got the last couple of weeks now, just back doing bits and pieces of training, and even though it is kind of great to be back, it's not like you'd like to be doing, but at the same time, games start next week now, and it's just something to steady the minds, and players are anxious now just to get playing a game. They haven't been able to play a challenge matches or anything, so it's kind of unusual that the first game out is a QC Cup game, but look, you take anything you can get at this stage.
Yeah, is there a kind of a renewed maybe appreciation for being able to go out training, seeing as was off the charts for so long?
Yeah, look, they seem to be good old boys, and the lads are they're enjoying it in the end. They're doing their bits and pieces. A few knocks, but every team in the county are going to be picking them up at the minute, because they're just from not training so long. Just put a touch wood, nothing too major so far. So we're happy with that.
Yeah, I suppose that's maybe the other side of the coin, that if you've been off for so long and now there's going to be five games in the space of a month or thereabouts, so that workload in itself is going to be a thing to manage, isn't it?
It is like that, and I suppose the fact that you don't have your county players or whatever, you're instead of going off with a normal size panel, you could be down six or seven. So it means that some players are probably going to play more than you'd actually like. But at the same time, we just have to try and manage them, and in between games, get as much recovery as possible.
And just finally, I suppose it's a positive to have the games, because we know we went into last year's championship without any league games having been played. So maybe lads would be in better stead at the far side of this.
Look, they're going to be delighted. It's nice to get playing games, and because whether it's league or Garman Cup or whatever it is, it's better than a challenge match, because it's an official fixture. You have to be tuned in and you have to play the game, and it's not like three thirds or whatever way you want to do challenge matches. This is actually, it's real football, and it's something to look forward to.
Milltown selector David O'Brien there ahead of their game against Kilmurry Brickin in Park na Mhaire Quilty on Monday afternoon, and that one has a 4:30 start. Just to note that the fixture earlier yesterday in the paper was 3:30. That one now gone though to 4:30. Two games on at midday though to get the year underway. The first of those, Aero coasting in Stymon and Kildeister going to Dunbeg. Both those games, as I mentioned, a 12:00 start, and it's a 2:00 start in Ballinacally as Clondegad meet St Brickins. There's also games in the Garry Cup as Cora Clare host Cora Finn from 1:30. It's a 2:00 start in Kilrush, where the Sikasi are the visitors, while two games get underway at 3:00, namely the meeting of Kilmehel and O'Curry's in Kilmehel and Shannon Gales' clash with Dura Bearfield in Labashida. I will be keeping an eye, of course, on all those games right across Monday afternoon here on Clare FM, with a full wrap-up both on air and online. So keep tuned to both our social media channels and on air as well, and we'll make sure that we get you all those scores as soon as we have them to hand. Underage action, though, resuming as well across both codes in the coming weeks. The chairman of Bord na Ogiemont, Neil O'Brien, joins me now to look ahead to the hurling action. And Neil, I suppose the return of underage games, something that we've probably all been looking forward to.
Indeed, for sure, Derek, yeah. Next Monday night sees the return to games for all underage in the county and throughout the country. And so I'm sure there's going to be a lot of happy households and families in the next couple of weeks as they prepare to get back out on the pitch and get back out there against near neighbours and parishes and clubs and let the Clash of the Ash commence again.
Absolutely. You might just run us through maybe what's in store then in terms of fixtures or what grades are coming up.
Yeah, we commence this Monday night with the 15s Championship, and then on the weekend, then the weekend after next, then we have the 15s Academy competitions in A and B, and then the following week then sees the commencement in the 13 Championships in both A, B and C, and also in the A and B in the Academies. So there's going to be a busy couple of summer overhead. There's as we said, we're starting there next Monday night, and those fixtures going up to the end of October at the moment, the way it looks, the way the calendar is situated. So I did a quick count for there earlier on. There's 378 hurling matches to be played before we even get to the knockout competition. So it's a pretty packed schedule for the year ahead. So there's lots to look forward to in all the clubs there is. So
there certainly is, as you mentioned, and I suppose welcome news as well that the 100 spectators can go back into matches? Because you just touched on it there when you mentioned it at the start, that it's not just the children, I suppose, it is about them, that the players are the most important, but those mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles and grandparents as well that take joy in watching those games, so thankfully they'll now be able to.
Oh, that's for sure, yeah. No doubt about it. Look, there is a protocol now as has come out from Croke Park. Clubs have to work with us and see how it goes. Look, the last thing we want is a rise in cases again and have it put the whole season in jeopardy. So, we'd be urging clubs to keep an eye on it, make sure that the numbers are stacking up and to keep follow all the guidelines involved. As you said, parents are looking forward to the return of the play as well. Everyone's looking forward to get back out into the local pitch and see their teams out there. Like, so it's been a long time since last October when the season closed down last year. And I think a lot of people are only made to go there. Like, look, it's a welcome distraction away from what is going on, we'll say, in the whole COVID-19 era, which we're getting used to. But again, we have to start to get back to normality too as well, and everyone's looking forward to the return of the games there. So,
for sure. 15s and 13s, as you mentioned, in terms of looking maybe forward ahead in the summer, what other grades are we looking forward to there?
Yeah, the minor hurling will be commencing. It's provisionally down for the 13th of August at the moment. Our counterparts in Border and Oak Hill are starting the week earlier, the 6th of August. They are provisional at the moment in dates as we see how county teams progress in their respective All-Ireland Championships there. So we just have to keep an eye on that as it goes along. But the under-17, as everyone's aware of, has changed from under-18 in 2021 following Croke Park's ruling change. So that will be starting in August and to carry on into the month of November it will be. So we'll all be looking forward to seeing the new minor championship and formats. Obviously, it's been an inter-county for the last three seasons, and we'll be seeing how the change goes at club level from this year forward.
Yeah, and a busy schedule, as you mentioned there, Neil. Thanks for that. That's Neil O'Brien. He is chairman of Bord an Óg Amont here in Clare. And we'll keep you posted as well on what's happening in terms of Bord an Óg Pell. Those games getting underway on Friday, June 11th. The under-13s get underway in that particular competition. And on Wednesday, June 16th, then it's the under-15 competitions going across those ones. So we'll get you more details on that, as I said, probably for next week's programme as well. Back shortly.
We're coming into the last stretch of Clare FM's Sideline View Stakes, and DNG O'Sullivan Hurley are pushing hard now as they head towards the home stretch, and it's DNG O'Sullivan Hurley that are going to take the title of number one estate agents in County Clare, followed by Don Roman. DNG O'Sullivan Hurley, the Clare winners.
Now, you're welcome back to Sideline View here on Clare FM, continuing our Greyhound focus, our reports coming every week from Limerick and Galway and further beyond when needed as well. Our man at the course is Alan Troy.
Good evening, Derek, and good evening to all our listeners. Welcome to this week's Greyhound report on Clare FM. There was two nights racing at Galway Greyhound Stadium last weekend. On Friday last, Colossal Knight was the first Clare winner on the card. The strapping son of Lockhill Blake landed the spoils in an impressive 4.5 length victory in 29.74 in an A8 contest. Owned by the Colossal Syndicate of Kilmaley and Ballybeg, this comprises of Tom Warren and the dynamic duo of Niall Warren and Leona Ryan. Lady Blue Eyes, owned by Rachel Murray and trained by her dad Stephen from Kilmurry near Six Mile Bridge, had it all her own way, clocking 19.47 in an S6 contest. Father and son team Anthony and Mark Cusick from Coura Clare were beaming when their aptly named Last Rabbit crossed the line, winning in 29.87 in an A7.525. Anthony's father, Tony, was a well-renowned greyhound owner who ran his dogs with distinction under the Rabbit's prefix. This dog was named in honour of an honour after Tony's passing last year. In a competitive A3, Butsy's Bullet landed the spoils in an impressive 29.18 for the Shannon-based Butsy's Bucko Syndicate. This dog is trained by Jerry Holohan from Attenrye. And in race 10, Ballybye Panda triumphed in 29.32 in an A4, owned by well-known Dura-based owner and breeder Jerry Maloney in partnership with Master Patrick O'Driscoll. On Saturday night, it took till race 7 till we had our first Clare-owned winner. Tom Keane from Kilmahill, who runs his dogs with distinction under the Glencross prefix, was delighted with his charge, Glencross Fluff, who recorded 29.50. Race 8 was won by the impressive Brickhill Shelby, who scorched home in 1896 in an S4. This was an impeccable run by the John Collins' own daughter of Lockhill Blake. John resides actually in Ballyhaunas, County Mayo, but is a native of Kilmehill and is brother of Clare football manager Cullum. The fecal flag was flying when Astro Ocean won race 9 in an A4525. The Damien and Gary Pepper own charge ran out a comprehensive winner in 29.38. And Halland, owned by Marion Moroney from Innes, romped home in an A6 contest in a very impressive 29.19. This blue and white son of Sire of the Moment, Droopy Sydney, and his dam is Coolivani Spice, is a member of a very impressive litter that was bred by the tenacious Ballyhea and Clare hurling stalwart Jack Brown. It was also a great evening for trainer Stephen Murray, who teamed up with a litter double at the College Road venue. Gungalwa's Paul Collin owned Beeslow Cincinnati and Beeslow Missouri both won their respective graded races in 29.30 and 29.53. Saturday night in Limerick, the main attraction was the second round heats of the Greyhound Pet World Muzzle 550. Heat 3 saw Loxley show his class to win in 30.08, owned and trained by Six Mile Bridge and Clare hurling legend Sean Stack. The semi-finals of this sweepstake will be run this Saturday, and remaining Clare runners as well as Loxley are Bling Bling Paul, owned by John Meehan from Quinn, and Rallying Knight, owned by the Dan Flynn-led Rallying Syndicate from Meelick. In race 10 saw Ganja Gun land the spoils for Paddy Conlon from Bristol at Coeur d'Alene and the aforementioned John Meehan in an eye-catching 28.72. This son of American sire S.H. Avatar looks to have a very bright future ahead of him. Thursday night in Limerick, there were two impressive Clare-owned winners. Speedy Bella opened a Banners account, recording her second career success in an impressive 29.17. Bella is owned by Padraig Fannin from Innes. Termana Dash, owned by Noel Moroney from Mullock, made it two wins in a row, romping home in an eye-catching 28.91. On the national scene, the main attractions this weekend include the final of the Larry O'Rourke National Project Stake in Clonmel, where the Nina-based Pat Gilfile-trained Explosive Buy starts as favourite in this hotly contested final. And from headquarters in Shelburne Park, the cream at the crop of the female cohort battled it out in round 3 of the Sport and Press online edition Oaks. The good news in relation to the sponsorship of the Irish Greyhound Derby. Bile Sports has renewed the sponsorship of the Irish Greyhound Derby with a 3-year, £1 million commitment. The Irish Greyhound Derby is the most prestigious race on the Irish Greyhound calendar. The renewed deal will take Bile Sports sponsorship off the event to 10 years, with the value of the sponsorship over this time set to exceed £3 million. And after so much talk and anticipation, there's great news for our the greyhound industry, or the greyhound racing scene across the Irish Sea. The Star Sports and TR English Derby got underway at Towcester yesterday evening. And given the chatter, the prices on offer and the general strength of the challenge, it would be disappointing if the Irish don't go on to claim a third victory in 3 years following the brilliant successes of Priceless Blake in 2019 and Dear Jet Cindy in 2020. That's the Greyhound Report for this week. Wishing you all a safe and pleasant weekend.
Alan, thanks very much indeed for that. A comprehensive roundup of how all the Clare owners and trainers got on, and I suppose more importantly, the dogs as well. Weren't they running in both Galway and Limerick Greyhound tracks over the last couple of weeks? And we'll be continuing that going forward. It's important to highlight, I think, one of the very traditional and indeed important sporting industries here in County Clare. So we will continue to do that with Alan weekly, and we'll have special shows as well lined up in a digital series that we will tell you more about in the coming weeks. We're finishing up this evening though by checking in at East Clare Golf Club as part of another new series that we're getting underway here on Clare FM. Located near Bodyke, the Parklands course was designed by the golf architect Arthur Spring, with the opening of the clubhouse in 2001 marking the completion of the current 18-hole championship course. That course, set on a 150-acre site with wildlife roaming around the course being a regular occurrence throughout the year, they proudly boast that the first place that you're going to hear the cuckoo if you're out around East Clare, and I'm not talking about Tommy Gilfile there either. The first place you'll hear the cuckoo is out at East Clare Golf Course, and we were out there last weekend on the Saturday afternoon. What a gorgeous place it is when the sun shines. It's not bad, I'd say, when it's raining either, but when the sun shines, it puts a total new perspective on it altogether. Club Hero Rachel Whelan says, everyone involved in the club is proud of what it has to offer.
It's great to see so many new members, and it's great to see so many young members as well. And the club over the last 2 years since the members took it back has just gone from strength to strength, and there's a real kind of a volunteerism about the place. And you know, at most all of it actually is volunteer ran, but bar the greenkeepers. So you know, there's a real sense of community here, and everyone's just kind of looking out for each other. So it's great. It's a great club to be a part of.
Absolutely. And I suppose from a competitive sense as well, that side of it's going to be kicking back in the next couple of weeks, so I know people are looking forward to that too. And the competition element is probably a very important income stream as well for the club.
It is, absolutely, yeah. And I suppose from a competition point of view, I think I know the men had some of theirs last year, but the ladies had none of theirs. So I think people, you know, there's a lot of evenings you see teams out practicing, they're all kind of looking forward to it. I suppose everyone kind of has that bit of a competitive edge in them, even if they deny it. But I suppose everyone just likes to get out and play in competition. And even last weekend we were lucky enough to get the final played of our winter league, which is probably one of our biggest club events, and it's ran from October normally until February, but obviously it was cut short this year. But the final was on last weekend, and the competitiveness and the bite was still there. It hadn't left since last December when we got to hit the last ball, so it was great. And you know, it's just great to see people back out and people with smiles on their faces. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and I suppose you talk about Get Into Golf, and I know that's the programme that initially coaxed you to East Clare Golf Club, and I suppose the game itself then has gripped you since then.
Yeah, absolutely. I joined here in 2017 through the Get Into Golf programme. So it's a programme they run every year for men and ladies, and it consists of kind of a couple of lessons on the driving range, and then out on the course. So it's great. It's a great way to kind of get into it, and it's a great way to kind of start golf.
Talk to me about your experience that came about, because that I know we've spoken about it elsewhere, but I mean, you got to have a fantastic experience because of it.
Yeah, I did. I suppose I was very fortunate myself, and Marie Donlan, we had joined the Get Into Golf together in 2017, and we became full members in 2018, and then in 2019 we entered into this club competition, and we didn't actually know what we were entering into in the first place, but we ended up with the highest score here, so we got to go to the Heritage in Dublin, and we miraculously ended up winning there as well. And we didn't actually know what was at stake when we were there, but the prize was an all expenses trip to St Andrews to play in the Carnation Foursomes, which is like one of the biggest competitions in ladies golf in the UK and Ireland. So it was an incredible experience, but it was I suppose the two of us were both also very proud to represent the club, having been such new members. We got great support at the time, and you know, it was just something that we're very proud that we have done.
That is East Clare Golf Club PRO Rachel Whelan there running us through the course. And as I said, we will be doing an awful lot more in terms of the other golf courses right around Clare that thankfully are well back into action now, having reopened following the COVID restrictions. So keep an eye out both on air and online for more of that as the weeks go on. Time is almost beating us here on Sideline View this evening. Don't forget, a very, very busy weekend of action. We are in Parnell Park tomorrow evening for Clare versus Dublin, both on air and online. We'll be building up and reviewing that one. We'll be in Navan on Sunday. We'll be all over the place then on Monday for the Cusick and Garry Cup games as well as they get underway. So loads to look forward to. And indeed, plenty to look forward to too this evening, because coming up after the 7 o'clock news, it's the one and only Owen O'Neill. He'll keep you going until 9 o'clock with the best of Irish traditional music and song on the West Wind. Do enjoy and have a very safe and enjoyable bank holiday weekend.